Hi, everyone. Today, let's take a look at Psalm 63. In Psalm 63, at the very beginning of that psalm, in the superscription, we read that David is in the wilderness of Judah. And scholars for centuries have debated whether the context of this psalm is that David is fleeing for his life from King Saul, or is King David fleeing for his life from Absalom, his own son? Well, since the word king is used in verse 11, it seems best to understand the context here as being King David fleeing for his life from his own son, Absalom. And you can read about that in 2 Samuel chapters 15, 16, 17, and 18. But today I'll begin by starting at verse 1 of Psalm 63. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth. They shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exult, for the mouths of liars will be stopped. Again, the context here, David is fleeing for his life. He's got a lot of pressure in his life, a lot of stress. He's concerned for those that are with him because he's with those who are devoted to him. As king, they're in this wilderness situation, and it's a pretty desperate situation that David finds himself in. There are a couple of words I'd like to just bring to your attention as we begin, and one of those is relationship. They're not in the text, but just words to consider. Relationship, priority, and history. We see from the first verse that David has a relationship with his God. O God, and the word there is Elohim. O Elohim, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. David has a relationship with God. He's calling on one that he knows, that he has a relationship with, and that's so fundamental for us, that we need to be in a relationship with God to call upon God. If we've spent our life ignoring God, turning our back on God, giving lip service to God, living hypocritically, saying we believe in God, but living in a completely different manner than God would be pleased with, well, it doesn't seem like relationship is taking place there. But David shows us that he is in a relationship with God, and he's calling on, in his deep time of need, he's calling on this God, the God that he is in relationship with. He's calling on this God to renew his soul. And really, this picture of David is a picture of a soul that needs renewal. It needs refreshment. All of us enter that season of life at one time or another. We need to be lifted up, and only God can do it. Our soul needs to be refreshed. Our soul needs to be renewed, and only God can do it. The things of the world are not satisfying us. In fact, all that David has, all of his experiences, all of his power as king, not satisfying. He's turning to the only one that can satisfy in the time of his deepest need. He's turning to the one God that he has relationship with, the true God. So he says, O God, you are my God. Earnestly, I seek you. There's the word priority. Earnestly I seek you. That means with some immediateness to it, some eagerness to it. Earnestly or early, and some translations use early. Early I will seek you. The idea being there, the word can mean both, earnestly or early. It's not so much about the time of the day as it is about the priority of the heart. What's happening in the heart? Who's prioritized in the heart? And often what we turn to early in the day is what has priority in our heart. But David says he's earnestly going to seek God. This is an intentional prioritizing of God in his life. I seek you, and to seek something is to come near something. It's to be in a place where really God's at the center. There's a lot of things that could be at the center of David's life. His life is under threat, so very literally under threat. He's got the needs of those around him. He's got disappointment for sure. It's his own son that's after him. Great disappointment, sadness, pressure, stress, uncertainty, questions about his own life. All of these things. But David is seeking God. Earnestly I seek. He wants God to be at the center of his situation, because that's where security is going to be found, and refreshment's going to be found, and greater wisdom is going to be found, is when God is at the center. And so David is saying, earnestly I seek you. There's this priority that is in David's life, prioritizing God. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. All of this picture of what's going on in his life. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. As in a dry and weary land. Remember, he's in a wilderness, so he has that right in front of his eyes. So we can imagine him writing this psalm, thinking through this psalm and looking out on this wilderness, dry and weary place. Well, that's what his soul feels like. That's what his flesh feels like, as his flesh faints. But he's going to seek God. These are words of feelings of weakness, of despair, of sadness, of being weary. David is a weary man under the pressure that he's under. And we've already seen that the way he responds to that is prioritizing God in his life, seeking hard after God. And we have to think about our own lives, don't we? When we see something like this, when we feel that our world has been turned upside down, as David's has, when we feel pressures or uncertainty or stress or great disappointment, when we feel as our own soul is thirsting, and when our own flesh could faint, are we seeking God? Are we pushing harder after God? Are we pushing in, seeking God? And one thing is that often we don't think about the weakness, the burden, the fatigue in our own mind, and the fatigue in our own bodies, the weakness, the sense of fainting. Well, those experiences that we might have could have several different reasons behind them. But do we ever think that it might be because we're not pressing in as much as we ought to? Does that ever enter into our calculus when we think, what's going on with my mind? What's going on with my body? Would we need to press in? Would we need to seek a little more vigorously, God? Would we need to be cultivating our relationship a little more intentionally? Would that bring some refreshment and renewal that we need? Be a good question for self-reflection. You have to answer for yourself, of course. But might be that that's what is needed under those times of a deep sense of weakness. Well, he says that his flesh faints and his soul is thirsting. He's in this as if it's in this weary place. He has this lived experience. He has a sense, as we all do, if we're in that kind of a situation, that the things around us are really not satisfying us. That he is dissatisfied with his history, his accolades, his what the world, what's at his disposal, even as king, in this desperate situation that he's in. He's really dissatisfied with what's around him. Nothing can refresh him. Nothing can renew his soul. And for any of us, for a soul that really, really needs renewal, that needs refreshment, that soul will have this sense that the things of the world will not satisfy. They just won't do it. We may have tried several different avenues of help and refreshment from things of the world, and they're empty to us. And that's a good sign that what we really need to be filled with and refreshed with is that relationship with God, that cultivated relationship with God. He says, I've looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and your glory. And that is such an interesting statement. Here he is, all this background we've already thought about. So, he says, I have looked upon you in the sanctuary. What's that about? Beholding your power and glory. Well, he's not in the place where the sanctuary is. He's in the wilderness of Judah. But he's remembering what he has looked upon in the tabernacle as he came to worship. He's remembering something about that. In his mind, I have gone to the sanctuary, beholding your power and your glory. It seems that in David's experience, his very real experience, when he goes to the tabernacle to worship God, that there's this sense of power. There's this sense of glory. There's a sense of weightiness. There's a sense of significance and importance to that moment, that time when he's there. Something different than is found elsewhere in his life, even as being a king. Something significant and weighty is there. Something other, something holy is in that place. Well, now David's in the wilderness and he's thinking about that experience. He's thinking, and he's drawing on that experience. Now, David knows that he doesn't have to be in the tabernacle to draw upon the power and the care and the comfort of God. He knows that, obviously, because he's calling out to God here in the wilderness. That was right, and it was good for him to go to the tabernacle, but here he is in the wilderness, all this desperation and despair. And he's remembering, his mind is going back to a place where he had gone many, many other times, and he's remembering something that he had learned there. He's remembering something about the truth of God, the hope of God, the love of God, the power of God, the grace of God, the love of God. All these things, he's remembering that. And in his moment of need, that's helping sustain him. David knows that he can draw upon God. He can enter into the sanctuary, so to speak, by faith, where he is. He's entering in and he's drawing upon that hope that God has given him even when he went to the sanctuary in earlier days. Now, in our time, as we think about this psalm and the application into our own life, could we say that about our own worship experience? Is there any significance to it and weightiness to it? Any importance to it? The kind of weightiness that will carry us in a hard time, in a difficult time. Is there anything there that where we would look back upon it and we would connect with the significance of God, not the significance of the structure or any individual, but the significance of God, the significance of the truth of God, the significance of the glory of God, the power of God? Is that communicated in our own worship experience? If it is, it's a great resource to draw upon. We're drawing upon God, of course, but the memory of having entered into that sanctuary. Well, that sustains David. It really helps him and it encourages him. I've looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and your glory. It's remembering the strength of God, the hope of God, the nearness of God. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. He knows that the things of this life, even his own life, and do not measure up to the steadfast love of God. And he has his hope in God. Your steadfast love, carrying with it the sense of truth, the sense of justice. David needs that. He needs the truth of God. He needs the justice of God in the situation he's in. We all need the truth of God. We all need the justice of God. And isn't that a great place to find our hope, in that kind of a God who promises justice, and promises to judge injustice? When David finds hope in that. And he'll lift his hands. That's an action of in his name, in God's name, he'll lift his hands. That's an action of hope, an expression of hope. David hoping in his God. Well, he continues in verse 5 to speak about his soul. My soul will be satisfied. My soul will be satisfied. There's this great confidence David has that God will satisfy his soul, as with this great food, fat and rich food. His mouth will praise God with joyful lips when he remembers God and meditates upon God. David has a history with God. David has a history with having gone to the sanctuary of God. David has something. He has a history with God, something that he can remember. He has something upon which he can meditate upon in this very difficult and desolate situation. And here's a tip for us too. When we need a refreshed soul, when our soul needs renewal, what do we do in that? Well, we press in, we seek. Of course, we've already taken a look at that. But remembering the things of God. When we lay our head down, David says, I remember you upon my bed and meditate upon you in the watches of the night. Well, the watches of the night can be a strange thing. We can think about all of the enemies that would be coming in. David could be thinking about all the enemies that might be crashing in upon him. Again, the disappointments and frustrations that he might have had. We can think about all of those things in the deep watches of the night. But David is determined. He's got some intentionality about how he's going to deal with his situation. He's going to remember God, and he's going to meditate on the things of God. And that is the content of the seeking. He's going to seek God in prayer, remembering God, remembering the truths of God, thinking of the great things that have been sung about God, thinking about his worship of God, thinking about the character and the holiness of God, meditating on those things and more, much more, in the deep watches of the night. That's where his soul is going to be refreshed and renewed. It's not about the time of day as much as it is about being intentional about remembering, being intentional about meditating, spending time meditating and thinking upon the things of God and not the things of this world. There's great, great lessons in there, as I'm sure you can see. Great lessons. There's many things that really can crowd out our time on meditating on God. We can think it's such a waste of time. What, just to be thinking about God, just to be remembering about God, to be reading His Word and thinking about who God is and what He was doing in those different situations and what His Word is and what He might be saying to us today. What a waste of time, we're tempted to say, because I have all of these enemies, I have all of these responsibilities. But no, it's not a waste of time. It's an efficient use of time. And so David is remembering and he's meditating. He remembers that God has been his help. He's been his help in times past, and it's in under the shadow of the wings of God that David is going to sing for joy. His soul is going to be joyful. He's confident in that, and he's confident about being under the shadow of the wings of God. He's depending upon God, and he's really depending upon God. It's not lip service with David. He's in this wilderness situation. Again, the context of the situation, he needs God to act in his life. And a good reminder for us, do we need God to act in our life? Do we want God to act? Do we want to take the time to really press in for God to act and to move and to rescue us and to renew us? And that's what being under the shadow of God's wing is, being intentional about being under His protection, not being blind to the world. Obviously, David knows his surroundings, who is pursuing him, who his enemies are. He hadn't forgotten that, and tomorrow morning he won't forget it either. But he knows, he has confidence where his protection lies, and it's going to be under the covering of God. In verse 8, my soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. Again, there's this intentionality. My soul clings. It means following close. My soul clings. And your right hand upholds me. He's got great confidence in the strength of God, in the power of God. That clinging, all those words go together, don't they? In some way, they fill out a picture for us. There's the earnestly seeking, thirsting, earnestly seeking, and the clinging to God, remembering and meditating. These are action words. These are things that he's going to be doing intentionally in his deep time of need. Notice his confidence here in the God he worships. But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down to the depths of the earth. And that's just David's vision for God's justice. He knows God's going to deal with his enemies. He's pressing in. What David is prioritizing is his moving into that relationship, cultivating that relationship with God. And God's going to deal with his enemies. We spend so much of our own time, what would be the most effective way to deal with our enemies, perhaps in a more efficient, more useful use of our time, would be the intentionality in seeking and pressing in on God. They shall be, verse 10, they shall be given over to the power of the sword, and they shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. He's not going to rejoice in the death of his enemies. He's not going to rejoice in the overthrow of all of those who've been pursuing him. Notice where his joy is resting. His joy is resting in God. The work of God, the protection of God, the hope, the strength, the renewal, the refreshment that God is giving David. That's where his joy is. That's where he will be rejoicing. All who swear by him, God will exult, for the mouths of liars will be stopped. David has this great confidence in God's protection. I hope one of the things you take from this psalm is greater confidence in God's protection of you. If you're in that relationship with God through Jesus Christ, then you are under the shadow of God's wing. You can have great confidence in the justice of God and the care of God and the protection of God, even if God works in ways that would be very, very surprising and not expected at all, not according to our ways, but according to His. But you can have that hope and have that confidence because you're in a relationship with God. You're in a relationship with Elohim. You're in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you're not in a relationship with God through Jesus, God teaches us that it's only through Jesus, it's only through the Messiah that you can be in right relationship with God. And so God is continually inviting, and I'm inviting you today to come into that personal relationship, turn from sin in your life, indifference in your life, indifference to the things of God, indifference to Jesus, minimizing Jesus, turn away from sin and turn towards prioritizing Jesus, seeking a deep relationship with God, seeking a changed life. Do that. Do that in your time of need, in your time of concern, in your time when the world is upended all around you. Do that first. Let me pray for us. God, thank you for this Psalm of David. And we pray, God, that you would help us all to earnestly seek you as our soul thirsts every day and as even our flesh feels on some days like we're fainting. Help us to have confidence in you, God, the kind of confidence that David had to earnestly seek you. Help us to find our protection under your wing, God, and help us to be in under that protection of yours and sing for joy because we are your people. God, I pray if there's anyone listening that does not know you, perhaps they feel in their own soul they're distant from you. I pray, Lord, that you would help them to draw near to Jesus as Lord and Savior. Help them to turn from their sin, turn from treating you, God, you, Jesus, with indifference. Help them turn from that and turn towards you, seeking you for better life, for eternal life. God, I pray for your people that are listening, and I pray, God, that you would protect them this week. You would guard minds and guard hearts, and that you would cause all of us to grow up into you, Jesus, and become more like you. Pray this in your name. Amen.